He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition, the March 16th version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, who's glued to the TV screen today waiting for that big Fed announcement later
it's
today.
Fed Wednesday.
Right. It's Fed Wednesday. And in the meantime, I would just say that so far, this is one of the better moves I've seen in the market for a while. It has more quality to it. We've seen a lot of short covering here recently, but there is a little bit of better quality to the move here in the market today. Dow's up 316 after a pretty good move yesterday. We're at 33,861 right now. The NASDAQ is up 247. A little bit better quality today. I'm seeing some participation by Microsoft, Adobe, Apple, NVIDIA. Better quality stocks than what we've seen in the previous NASDAQ jumps. We've got the Russell 2000 up 1.9% today. Crude oil probably has bottomed now from that correction that it's taken. It's up a couple bucks today. Gold is down $13 to $19.16. The 10-year is kind of sitting chilly right now, but a lot higher than it was last week at this time. It's at 2.16. A level we haven't seen for quite a while, 2.16, as we await the big Fed announcement later today. And let's see, we've also got Bitcoin today. A little bit of risk on back in the market today. Bitcoin is up, let's see here, I'm not getting my Bitcoin, but it was up around 40,000 here just a while ago. So, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, also of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry, so far, yesterday's move, the Dow ended up 600 points yesterday, and the NASDAQ was up, also had a good day yesterday. But as I looked through it, it wasn't very good quality. It was a lot of short covering. But today, I'm seeing better quality to the move here, which is very encouraging. Maybe we can rule out some of the worst-case scenarios now in Ukraine, you know, the nukes and the biological weapons. And it seems like it's headed towards maybe a negotiated agreement between the two sides. Does that seem like maybe that's why the market's a little bit buoyant here the last couple of days?
Yeah, I think those. I think those, certainly those first extremes that you mentioned. You know, anything, anytime you've got a nation with a nuclear button, right? And of course, you know, in that instance, with basically one person that could probably potentially kick that off, right? And of course, we know what he's capable of in other factors of war, so who knows, right? But it does seem that that's kind of been, you know, hopefully, at least for the moment, taken off the table. And the other thing is the market, you know, overall gets, you know, you get desensitized to some of these, you know, to this particular story, right? It's been, you know, a couple of weeks now. The market's had, you know, more time to digest this type of stuff. You know, very similar. You take, 9/11 and terrorist attacks. I've seen some studies over the years where, you know, post 9/11, right? You know, anytime you had kind of, you know, any kind of notion of a terrorist attack, right? For those first, say, first decade after, right? The market, you know, would have a quick downturn and a quick reaction. You know, and eventually the market, you know, honestly basically quit reacting to those particular stories. Which,
and
you can get into that mode, right, where just investor sentiment, right, is not, it's certainly a factor still, but you're not as jumpy or overly, you're not overly, going to one side or the other, right, in terms of that news.
Yeah, and it just seems like maybe the darkest days of all of this. It's hard for the market to even focus on the market and the economy with missiles flying and people fleeing. But it almost seems like Zelensky made one last very impassioned plea to the U.S. Congress here this morning. But I really don't see him getting the no-fly zone and us getting involved militarily. I think that's his last chip to play, and the negotiations are advancing between him and the Russians, and he's just starting to swallow the bitter pill that going to have to accept being under Russian rule in some form or another. That's what the market seems to be pricing in here today. So we'll see what happens. You know, the charts on the market are not that great. They're still very weak. You've got a technical death cross on all three of the indexes. But there is some value there. I mean, even with the target price in the 4,600-4,700 area, you've got the S&P down at 4,200. So there's definitely some value back in the market. But at the same time, I think now you can start to paint in that that rising interest rate scenario again and adjust accordingly. You know, the only thing that was keeping interest rates down was all of these dire scenes coming out of Ukraine and the flight to safety. But now I think you're going to start focusing on the Fed a little more here. We've seen interest rates move up to 2.16. I think this is still a bad environment for rising interest rate stocks that don't do well in a rising interest rate environment. And I think you can start looking at some of those sectors that do well in a rising interest rate environment. And now you've got about 60% of the economists out there predicting stagflation. Now, for me, and we'll talk about what does well in a stagflation environment, for me, I think that's the most likely future for the U.S. economy here is stagflation. What think you, Mr. CFA?
Yeah, I mean, that's I was going to kind of hit the retail sales in the second segment, but, you know, the retail sales came out this morning fairly mediocre, report. The best part of the report was that they revised January up from 3.8 to 4.9. I think retail sales came in at 0.3% compared to 4.9 in January. And the biggest number on the board that jumps off of you, gasoline stations, retail sales were up 5.3%.
That out of the mix.
Yeah, take that out of the mix, and they don't really inflation adjust these numbers, right? But I mean, if you're looking at these numbers and you kind of inflation adjust them in your head, it's a negative recent retail sales number, which we talked yesterday. The American consumer has really, kind of pulled the world out of COVID, right? Yeah, and now,
inflation,
right? How much longer can we count on the American consumer at this point, given some of these other prices that we're seeing elsewhere? So,
well, more money, more of that discretionary money is going to the gas pump,
right,
as opposed to the mall based retailer.
Yeah, you're not
even
buying
the online retailers, right?
Yeah, and you're not buying anything. You got to maintain, right? It's like my dad used to talk about fireworks. It's like burning money, right? It's one thing if you go buy something, and then if you buy something, you have to maintain it, right? So then there's more money you spend, right? So it's you've got purchases on top of purchases, but with gas, right? It is what it is, and that's it.
Yeah,
you got to go buy more.
it takes a big bite out of that consumer discretionary budget for families and individuals. Well, when
which
we come
plays
back,
into your stagflation turn.
It sure does. When we come back, I mean, there are sectors that do well in stagflation. Stagflation is a stagnant economy, which probably, you know, coming out of COVID, we had the big sugar high and all the stimulus money. That's kind of now disappearing. Consumer sentiment very low, 62 on the Michigan consumer sentiment numbers. Retail sales very weak today as more money going into our gas tank. So I think the stagflation scenario seems to be the one to invest for going forward. And maybe the darkest days of Ukraine, I mean, they're still going to be very dark, but I'm talking like, you know, nuclear type stuff, are now behind us. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we'll talk about stagflation here in a minute, but I think I'll set up this discussion with the following fact. The Fed has to hike interest rates, Barry, in a slowing economy. Okay, we get the retail sales report today. Normally, you don't see Fed hikes in an economy that's starting to slow down like we have right now. So therein lies the rub. They're trying to knock down inflation. That's their number one goal right now. And they're going to have to kind of put what damage that does to the economy on the back burner, because inflation is a bigger problem right now than a slowing economy. So yeah, it seems like. Go ahead.
They're taking it from both ends. I mean, you look. I'm just kind of going through some of the big economic dump today and import prices, right? So let's go prior to COVID, right? The reason why the Fed was trying to hit 3% inflation, they were having trouble hitting 2% inflation, right? For much of of the 2000s, certainly between 2010 and up to COVID, and most of that was we were importing, right, deflation, a combination of better technology, more productivity, and then also we were importing goods from other places, right, cheaper goods from other places. A lot of that had to do with the old globalization. Well, now import prices have now, over the last year have jumped 10.9%. So, not only do we have inflation at home, right, but we're beginning to, importing, inflation. Whereas, for the longest time we were importing, deflation, for example. Think about, you could furnish your home, right, very cheaply from goods made, most of it made in Pacific, China early on, right? A lot of those goods were very cheap compared to, example for American-made furniture or what have you. But, it's a big change overall where, and also the other side of it is, our export prices were actually up 16.6%, right? So we're exporting, even more inflation, right, than we're importing, which is, which tells you that, it's going to make our goods, right, potentially less competitive in other countries, right, which is all leading into your slow growth, slow growth scenario. So
what does well? Well, I'm just looking at it today. I'm seeing the commodity stocks. That's one of the major beneficiaries of a stagflation environment. Look at the move in the steel stocks today. U.S. Steel, Olympic Steel, Cleveland-Cliff, Timken Steel. Look at the move in the other commodity stocks like SQM, Southern Copper, Rio Tinto. The fertilizer stocks doing fairly well again here today. So it's going to be a lot of the commodity stocks, which we've been pretty heavily invested in for quite some time. They're probably the brightest star in a stagflation environment. And then the precious metals do really well in a stagflation environment. And we've seen a big turnaround in the precious metal. Now, there's some profit-taking going on in them right now, but they look pretty bullish going forward. The mining stocks, the big the caterpillars and the deers, agriculture does well in an inflationary environment. I was looking at the ETF Moo, M-O-O, which is all farm-type stuff. And I really don't see any way out of higher oil prices anytime soon. There's been a big correction here in oil. It's starting to head back up again today. But I just don't see that supply that you need coming back on the market. There seems to be zero will whatsoever to increase our production here in the U.S. Instead, they're looking to Iran. They're just desperate to get a nuclear deal done. And you've got Russia is brokering the deal in behalf of Iran on the other side of the table. It just does not make any sense whatsoever. How can you trust either one of those sides? But that what it is what it is. That's a, and the other one they're dealing with is Venezuela to get their oil. And there seems to be absolutely no will whatsoever to go to Canada to get the pipelines going. Joe Manchin wants to get the pipeline going in his neck of the woods. Many are calling for increased production. Even our energy secretary, she said, please drill more. But it's just too difficult.
Well, and it's two sides. Yeah, there's two sides. I mean, you've got – I was reading a story about, you know, talking about Venezuela and how essentially decrepit – the platforms, the oil platforms are out there because they haven't been taken care of, I mean, since the Chavez days, honestly. And so, I think he's been passed away for, what, maybe a good 4-5 years or so now, maybe even longer. But, I mean, you know, so there's been, you know, virtually no maintenance on a lot of those platforms. So that takes a while to get that going. And, you know, frankly, local producers here, right, and, you know, it's a midterm election year. You know, you take you know, the folks like Devon Energy and a lot of those, smaller U.S.-based names. The administration hasn't been a friend of theirs, and so they're coming, you know, the administration's coming, hey, can you do us a favor? And it's like, we'll just wait till after the midterms and do you a favor, right? Which, you know, I mean, that's it's certainly an interesting situation back and forth, and like I said, we're getting close here to to the reformulation of gasoline from a refining standpoint, where you know your summer gas is usually 30% higher than your gas in the wintertime. Some of that's a little bit more driving, but also from a demand perspective, but also they have to reformulate the unleaded gasoline, which is more expensive for the refiners.
Yep. Well, I think what's happening is we're going we've had a Goldilocks scenario where you have low inflation and strong growth. We're going to just the opposite of that, where you have high inflation and weak growth. In fact, growth expectations are at a 14-year low, but CPI or the consumer price index are roaring. So that's what I would say. I would position my portfolios for stagflation. What does not do well in a stagflation environment? Anything consumer discretionary oriented, the Macy's of the world, the Chipotle's of the world, you know, they're going to get hit on both sides with a weaker consumer and higher prices that they can't really pass on to the consumer. So that's a bad place. And a lot of high tech, I think there's some room, some opportunity in the high tech right now, but I think it's down in the very high quality, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Adobe types of stocks, and you know they're pretty cheap right now, and that's where the money's going to go first in the tech stocks. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, there's the stagflation stock of the day. Timken Steel, TMST. Relative strength of 98, P.E. ratio 6. The steel stocks are just absolutely breaking loose here today. And, of course, it's dot plot day. Is that what they call it, Barry? Dot plot day?
Yeah.
Where they're... trying to assess where inflation is headed and trying to get out in front of it. Of course, it's a little late now to get out in front of it.
Yeah, and but the terminal numbers I saw for the dot plot on average, I think it was roughly, you know, they're talking 2.25, 2.5. So what, that would, I guess, equate into, you know, 10 raises, right? 9 to 10 raises.
Wow.
At a quarter point apiece, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot, and you know, I mean, you're doing it in a weakening economy, and that's the way it worked out. Okay, now here's the story that makes no sense to me whatsoever. The Iran deal took another step forward Tuesday as Washington assured Moscow. Why are we assuring Moscow of anything? Why are we even dealing with I thought we were. Not talking to Putin, that Ukraine-related sanctions would not impede Russia's ability to work alongside Tehran on Iran's nuclear development plans. So we're going to let Russia work hand-in-hand with Iran on their nuclear development plans. And, of course, supposedly these nuclear development plans are for peaceful use only. Russia's Foreign Minister Lavrov said Tuesday. So on the one hand, you've got Lavrov, who's, you know, clamping down the hammer on Ukraine. And on the other hand, we're dealing with him to let him help and Russia help Iran with their nuclear program. Some things just don't make any sense to me whatsoever, Barry. So we'll move on. API bearish. Well, we'll see. We get the... tomorrow, that's today. Okay, so we get the draw of oil. But you got 51 million people locked down in China. I don't know if that's part of the API number. So you have had oil come down a little bit. I think it's mostly because of the lockdown going on in China with COVID. But as I said yesterday, that seems to be the strain that went through America very quickly, the Omicron strain. But China goes about it in a different way. They have zero tolerance. If there's any signs of a spread, they lock everybody inside. We'll see how it works when they all come out of their homes, Barry. See if they're able to stop it at all. But it also is crimping the supply chain. You know, the cars. In fact, Tesla shut down their Shanghai factory as COVID-19 outbreak worsens. So we'll see how that goes. Mosaic raised to a buy at Goldman as fertilizer supply shock is in the early stages.
Finally, well, huh? Finally they raised.
Where have they been for the last year? Something stinks at Goldman. They don't have the quality of fertilizer analysts at Goldman Sachs that we have here at Gunderson right. Capital Management. I sought out the best fertilizer analyst. Hey, you know what? We're number 196 now. I don't think I've ever been that high. We've never been that high.
Inside the top 200, that's awesome.
In the tip ranks out of over 5,100. And we've gone way up also in the overall. I think we're like 890 or something out of 16,000. So anyways, but Goldman Sachs is considered to be the gold standard as it relates to research. I used to tell the story. It's a true story. I haven't told it for a while, but when I was in the commission business early on in my career with a broker-dealer, we would have these wholesalers come all the time pitching their mutual funds. Back then it was mutual funds. We didn't have ETFs back then. And they sent, Goldman Sachs sent a wholesaler pitching the Goldman Sachs Select Growth Fund. Okay, these were their best analysts at Goldman Sachs picking the stocks for this mutual fund. And, you know, back then, I was early on in my career. I bought quite a bit of it from my clients. It did terrible, Barry. I'm just telling you, okay, it did horrible. It couldn't even keep up with the S&P 500. And this was their select of the select fund. So that was my experience. I never bought another Goldman Sachs product since. You know, it's just, they're late to the party. It's very bureaucratic, you know, but hey, they're out in front. They're the first ones to lower their target price for the S&P. They came down to 4,700. But anyways, they are saying that the rising confidence in even a tighter grain and oilseed market into 2023 expects material fertilizer supply shocks across nutrients, with Mosaic, MOS, a major beneficiary in the current environment. And we do own Mosaic. We own Mosaic in our Ultra Growth portfolio. I did notice one other one really started to take off yesterday. It's the one that was spun off by DuPont. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It'll come to me here. It might be in the final segment, but it will come to me. There is another one. It starts with a D, another fertilizer stock out there. There's basically four or five fertilizer stocks out there. Okay, GM is going to produce an all-electric Cadillac. Boy, I can remember the Cadillacs of our day. You know, they were like tuna boats. You know, I don't know how far an electric battery would have gotten those, but I guess they've slimmed down a lot. The Lyric will have a starting list price of $60,000 when it comes to market, and is one of the signature electric vehicles for GM as it begins its transition to an all-electric future.
Yeah, and if it's like the rest of them, you know, you'll have it in 2029.
Yeah, I mean, the supply chain, try to get nickel right now, try to get lithium. The supply chain is awful. Tesla raised their prices the last couple of weeks as steel and aluminum prices continue to bolt higher. I think the used car market is the one. I still see these used car stocks just doing really well as people are just like, you know what, you can't get a new car. The inventory is horrible, and the used cars have gone way up. That's part of the CPI, used cars.
I saw a crazy used car stat. It was like a 2004 Camry, right? That would have used to be, you know, would be like, you know, $2,000 or something, right? As a used car, and they were going for six or almost $7,000. And that's a 2002, 2004 Camry. I forget what I need to get the year on it. But I mean, I'm like, you know, you're talking about, you know, a very old car, right? Year wise. And I mean, you're still tripling or even more in price on that low end spectrum. I mean, so just think, you know, I mean, I've got a 15 year old, right? That's about to be 16 here pretty soon.
And
it's like, what used car are we going to get for that one, right?
Well, we used to pass on our used cars to our kids. And, they make money nowadays if you do
right.
that. Okay. Well, anyways, okay. We're going to get the Fed announcement here later today. A lot of times it's in the press conference afterwards. I'm going to listen to that one.
Yeah, so the number comes out at 2, and Jay will be speaking at 2:30.
And he's backed into a corner. very much with, you know, they should have been raising rates a long time ago. They weren't raising rates a long time ago. We came out of 2008, 2009, then we came out of COVID. Those rates should have been going up, but they kept them low. And now, you know, you have all that sugar high gone from the economy, all that stimulus gone from the economy. The economy is slowing down now. And now we begin to raise interest rates. So hence the stagflation scenario that seems pretty likely going forward. But that's okay. You know, let's just take out as much as many of the unknowns out of the market as we possibly can. And also stagflation is not good for the bond funds either going forward, because you have interest rates going higher with no growth. So there's some areas of the market that will not do well in a stagflation environment. What will do well? Well, we'll get some stocks that are popping off the page here today in the final segment. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's Gunderson Capital Management Best Stocks Now Show. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There is some wild and woolly action taking place in the market today. Wow. China. Ooh, we have no exposure whatsoever, long or short. China, I guess, came along with a stimulus plan. Their market has just been absolutely under siege here recently. Consider today that Didi, which is the Chinese version of Uber, is up 42% today, Barry. I hope you got some of that in your Roth IRA.
Yeah, you know I do.
Oh, yeah. And PDD, Pinduoduo, is up 46% today. JD.com, 29%. Well, Kathy Wood's going to have a really big day today. There's a great deal of short covering today in the market. I mean, like, really, it's like turning the lights on, and the cockroaches are scrambling here to cover their short positions in China, in the emerging markets. I just think that there's kind of a feeling on the street that, you know, this thing's going to come to a head of some kind of a ceasefire in Ukraine, and they're going to work out some kind of negotiated settlement. I don't see Ukraine defeating Russia, that's for sure, and I don't see the U.S. and the EU coming to their aid and getting involved militarily. So you're kind of looking behind door number three. Their back is to the wall, and I think the market is pricing in some kind of a halt to this and some real heavy negotiations. I think it's going to be hard for Russia to keep Ukraine under control as a captive state, is you got a lot of people with a lot of spirit in Ukraine. So I don't know. I think Putin's got himself into a mess.
Well, does Putin negotiate? I guess that's my I hope, you know, it's like you look at this from a humanitarian standpoint and you hope, right, for some ceasefire and all this. But, you know, in the back of my mind, it's just like I don't. You know, does he have a history of negotiating? Like, I don't know. I mean, you know,
well, under his terms, he does.
I mean, right, and what
I'm
is
sure
that?
Everything
that's
goes
not a
through
true
him.
Negotiation.
He's going to sign off on the bottom line, you but know, yeah, there, as long but, as the terms are his.
But there's really no way. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, there's no way for him to look good, in my opinion, right, to his people.
No.
So with that premise, I just don't see what negotiation that he would be okay with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, you know, given that, you know, in terms of conflict, right? I mean, you go, you know, lengthwise, right? We're in, you know, very early in terms of, say, a military you know, event, right? I mean, it's not the, you know, there's not too many conflicts, right? I can go back to, what is it, 7 Days War, right? There's not too many that only last, right, you know, a couple of weeks or, you know, a month.
No, he'll
even,
keep
right?
it. I'm sure he'll keep them under control, and he'll sell it to his people that we, you know, we've freed the Ukraine, the Russian people in Ukraine and whatnot. Well, okay, so let's look now at some of the stocks that are doing well. I got to mention Cleveland Cliffs. You've written that one up, CLF, because there does seem to be a stagflation theme running through the market today. And I think that is very much friendly to the commodity stocks. I'm looking at Freeport MacMoran today, which we own, FCX. It's up 3.7% today. I'm looking at Zeus, Z-E-U-S, which is Olympic Steel. It's up 7% today. So the commodity stocks definitely are in play here today. And just looking at the tech, you know, the ones that have put in pretty good bottoms here, I think the high-quality stocks, you know, and we still own several high-quality tech stocks. Microsoft is having a pretty good day today. It's bouncing off of its low. Adobe has put in a pretty nice bottom. That's one of the highest quality tech stocks out there. And it's up 3.9%. NVIDIA is doing great, but it does scare me a little bit with the issue. Let's not even bring up Taiwan today, because that is a very distinct possibility. And for that reason, it makes me a little bit nervous about these semiconductor stocks. But NVIDIA is up 5.6% today. AMD's having a good day. AMD's up 5.3%. That's a pretty good bottom that AMD has put in. But, you know, I'm just a little worried about those semiconductor stocks right now. Amazon, okay, Amazon looks pretty good. It's put in the bottom, a pretty good bottom, actually. And it's approaching 3,000 again. It got cleared down to 2,700. It's still 700 points off of its high. So if you're going to go back into tech and QQQ and NASDAQ, that would be my suggestion. Would be that I'm not going back into Teladoc. I'm not going back into you know, the Zoom Infos and the Zoom Technologies, but the high-quality tech. So yeah. I guess in summary, maybe the worst is behind us now. Certainly not for the Ukrainian people, but as far as, you know, that just that gloom and doom kind of cloud that's hung over the market here for the last couple of weeks. Maybe the market could at least start thinking about the economy again and growth and earnings. And, of course, we'll get the big Fed announcement today, and they're forced to raise interest rates in a slowing economy environment, which is going to create a very much that's a breeding ground for stagflation. So what do? You get the Gunderson newsletter. I'll be sending that out this Saturday, 2 free weeks. It goes out to all of our clients and subscribers at GundersonCapital.com. We have several portfolios that are up. They're positive this year. The emerging growth is up, and the ultra growth portfolios are positive for the year. The NASDAQ is down 12-13%, and it has not been a good year for that area of the market. You can also set up an appointment with us to talk to us about portfolios going forward. There's some opportunity here right now. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Keep Barry busy. He's been busy talking to folks, and we always have ever since I've been in the business. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.